Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Yes, Naomi Maine's new book, An American Girl, based on a true story, tells the stirring tale of the author's relationship with her husband and the life they built together. Sharon Stoll is an ordinary girl growing up in America. She meets an ordinary young man, Mark Maine, 2 weeks before her 16th birthday, who blows to pieces her little world, she says. An American Girl is a relational journey, which, no matter how you look at it, is a love story. Sharon's love story is about her extraordinary life with Mark, who she met in 1968, 4 weeks before he left for Vietnam. Sharon presents the beautiful, the distressing, and the unattractive parts of her journey of nearly 70 years. Sharon is retired, truly believes she is exactly where the Lord wants her to be today after blessing her with a beautiful lifetime of love with her late husband, Mark Maine. Their relationship was one that weathered life's challenges well. She still lives with her black cat, Ned Pike, in the home she and Mark moved into in February 1979, remembrances of her sweetheart all over the home. S. Naomi Maine, author of the touching love story, An American Girl, based on a true story, is our guest on This Week in America. Sharon, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, too.
What a wonderful story you've written, and I'm really looking forward to talking about it on our program today. Explain first the layout of the book. Talk about how you went about doing this.
Okay. The layout of the book is a prologue and 30 chapters. The prologue is written in third person, and it has two sections to it. One's called An American Boy, and the other one is called An American Girl. So, of course, that's Mark and myself. And that tells the story from our birth until the day we meet. Chapter one and the rest of the chapters are written in first person. And chapter one tells about the day we meet in November 1968. Chapters 1 through 28 are the story of our journey of 51 years of knowing each other, the dating, and the nearly 48 years of marriage. And then chapter 29 and 30, the last two, were about the year of 2020 after Mark had passed away and how I reflected over our life of knowing each other for 51 years.
The book is An American Girl, based on a true story. S. Naomi Maine is our guest on the program. Her website is SharonNMaine.com. If you go to our website, you can link on directly to Sharon's website. Book, of course, available wherever books are sold. Tell me a little bit with the prologue, the background on that, and then describe, if you would, Mark and yourself. What formed your personalities, your character traits? Give us a little background on you at the time and Mark.
Okay. Well, Mark was, he grew up in a neighborhood in Westminster, Maryland, where we live, and he was allowed to be this curious little boy. He was allowed to use his imagination. He was allowed to explore his environment, and his mother often told me how he pretended he was a cowboy when he was a little boy. Everybody loved him. His family, of course, his extended family, the neighbors, the kids, when he went to school, he made friends in every school he went in, elementary, middle, and high school. The teachers loved him. He had this genuine charisma about him. I say in the book, when I met him, that he was like a magnet. He just drew me toward him. His character was one that... he had this amazing sense of humor. He found humor in everything. He was clever and witty. He always had a response to everything people said to him. He had a boldness in the way he talked that he would tell the good and the bad, and he didn't care what you thought about that. He was always grinning. He just appeared to love life, and he was thoughtful. He was more thoughtful than any person I'd ever met in my life. He was not selfish. He put other people ahead of him. So me, on the other hand, I grew up quite differently. My parents were evangelists when I was born. And up until the time I was 5 years old, which is when they separated, and I could sit in a pew with, by myself, I was expected to sit there and behave and listen. We lived in Baltimore City, and when I was seven, my mother moved us from Baltimore to the Westminster area. That was because my sister and I were hooking school in kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, and hanging out in the alleys in our neighborhood. So she felt like she needed to get us to a rural area, which is Westminster. So we moved here, and then my mother remarried my stepfather when I was nine, and he was a good man. I loved him. He raised me. But I wasn't allowed to use my imagination a whole lot. I had to really take on, from the time my mother and father separated, responsibilities that were greater than my age, you know, required. And then my characteristics of my personality were that I was tall at a really early age. And so I didn't feel comfortable in my skin. I was shy. I called myself a late bloomer. I didn't really start to feel comfortable. I was gawky. I didn't start to feel comfortable until I was almost 16. And I had become an obedient daughter. And I said what I was supposed to say. And I really didn't see myself as anyone too special.
You know, it's interesting, the backgrounds, you and Mark. How did you meet? How did that happen? How did the two of you get together?
Well, that's a really good story. I met Mark in November 1968. I had started to work at a burger joint maybe 2 or 3 months before I met him. It was called Snacks by George. It was the hoppinest burger joint in Westminster, probably in all of Carroll County. And the locals called it George's. And the Baltimore Colts would come to Westminster during the 60s and train at our local college, which at that time was called Western Maryland College. Today it's McDaniel College. And they would train during the day at the college. They would spend a lot of the nights hanging around in George's. And my husband, of course, had grown up knowing that place. And he enlisted in the Army in June of 1968, a year after he graduated high school. And he was coming home on leave. A friend was picking him up where he was stationed, which happened to be in Maryland. And he says to his friend, "Let's go to George's before you take me home. I'm going to get something to eat there." And they come walking into George's. He's in his army fatigues, and I ended up being their waitress. I took their order and turned it into the kitchen, and I walked around to the front of the kitchen to prepare the ice cream treat. They ordered subs and French fries and root beer floats, and I was preparing the floats. And Mark could see me where I was, and whenever I looked in his direction, he was looking at me, and he was grinning. And so I carried the root beer floats over and set them down on the counter. And he's still grinning. He's kind of looking, checking me out. And he says, he introduces himself. He introduces his friend. And then he asked my name, and I told him. And he says, "I'm coming home on leave. I'm going to be home for about a month, and then I'm shipping out to Vietnam." He said, "I don't have a girlfriend. Will you write to me?" Now, I was a junior in high school, and us high school girls, we saw lots of young men going to Vietnam during that time. And we really didn't want to see any of them go away and not have a girl to write to that wasn't their mother. So, of course, I told him I would write to him. I was going to be, you know, I was going to be his friend. I explained I had a boyfriend. My boyfriend was also in the Army at that time. He was in basic training. And, you know, we were just going to be friends. He asked me that night before he left what nights I worked, and I told him. He came in on a Thursday night, the last Thursday in November of 68, and he showed up the next night, which was a Friday night. He pulls in, I see him come in this car, and he's driving a bright blue 1968 Corvette, and I was impressed
by
that.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, wow, this car and this guy really go together really well. And he gets out of the car and he walks into the dining room, and I can see him through the big glass windows and doors, and he's smiling, and he has this swagger about him. And if he would talk while he's walking, he would be saying, "I know who I am. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I know what I'm going to do the rest of my life. Look out, world, here I come." I mean, that was what his walk said to me. And he walks in, and his purpose in coming in that night was to find out how I got back and forth to work. And he didn't know my age, but I told him I didn't have my license yet. And my parents brought me back and forth to work. And he said, well, call your parents and tell them I'm going to bring you home tonight. And so I did that. And like I said, we were just going to be friends.
What an amazing story. And I love the fact that you remember that first order that you served him that started
Absolutely.
This remarkable journey. And that night literally changed your life. Our guest on the program is S. Naomi Main. The book is An American Girl Based on a True Story. Her website is SharonNMain.com. Information there on the book, of course, available at Amazon, the usual places. Let's talk about how the book came about, An American Girl. What inspired you to write this story?
Wow, that's, that was a long process. My husband passed away at the end of 2019. And the year of 2020, there were so many things that pointed me to writing this book, but I did not really see that until early in 2021. I guess I'll kind of like talk about them chronologically a little bit. The very first thing that happened was a longtime friend was moving from Georgia back to Maryland, and I was going house hunting with her. It was only a few weeks after Mark had passed away, and I had an opportunity to sit and talk with her realtor. And he was a young man in his 30s, and she had told him my husband passed away. And so he says to me, how did you meet? Just like you asked me. And I told him that story. And so when I got done telling him what I told you, he said, well, what happened next? And so I told him some more and what happened next. And I probably told him about a couple of the 2 years when we were dating. And he said at the end, wow, you have a really great story. I think you need to write a book. I think it would even make a good movie. And I laughed. I thought that was really silly. But obviously, I stored that in my subconscious.
Yes.
I was a person who, I took a lot of pictures. We hosted a lot of events in our home. I took pictures of those events wherever we went. I took pictures, and then I created photo albums. And when Shutterfly came out, I did photo books. So I was always taking pictures. I found among my photograph stuff, this oversized scrapbook I had purchased about 10 years prior. And, I had a plaque put on the front of it that said The Life and Times of Mark and Sharon Main. And my thinking at the time was I was going to kind of chronicle our life in pictures from our birth to whenever, but it never happened. So now I thought I need to do that. So that's what I did. And it was the first page, I put a cover page. The next two pages I selected, you know, beginning with our births, a year or two or three or five, whatever. And on those two pages, I put photographs that applied to the time frame. I put cards, letter excerpts, or music lyric excerpts that might apply to the time frame. And then I wrote a little synopsis of what happened in those years and put that on the pages. And I did that from our birth until the year Mark passed away in 2019. And then I started writing these little vignettes and putting them on Facebook. And I would pick a topic that was valuable to Mark and I, something we valued in our life. And I would write about it. I would include something that Mark had said about that topic. I would include pictures. And I did that through the summer of 2020. And every couple of weeks I would post something, and people started writing to me, responding to my posts and saying things like, I like the way you express yourself, or you have a really great story, or you need to write a book. And one close friend said, you need to write a book and you need to call it An American Girl. Now, I didn't even like that title. And I thought, no, I don't think so. So I'm a little bit of slow to grasp things, I guess. I am a person that has journaled most of my life from the time I was a young teenager. Back then, we called it diaries. And so when in 2019, I had purchased a journal for 2020, I believed my husband was going to live and I was going to write about this amazing journey of what we had been walking through. And so that didn't happen. So how was I going to use that journal? I read Mark's letters from when he was in the Army over and over, even found some of my own in his stuff. I looked through old journals that I had written. And so I took these, some of the letter excerpts, and I put them in my 2020 journal. Every time I went in Mark's truck somewhere, I heard one of the love songs of the 60s that we love so much. And I would come home and I would look up the lyrics. I would write them in the journal. I reflected over our life, because you can look back and you can see, you know, more insight into what had happened in life. And I wrote about that. I put pictures in there of him and I, and I had tons of them, picked my favorite ones, the ones I liked, and wrote about them. And of course, I wrote about what my days were like, you know, slogging through the grief, I would call it. Then I began to look at videos that were taken that we, at some event we went to, and I could see us in the videos. I looked through all my picture albums, and what I began to see was I had really chronicled our life from the time we met, pretty much. And God started to speak to me and was showing me that he had orchestrated us. Who and what was Mark and Sharon Main? And it was a story that I needed to tell. So I decided to write the book by early 2021. My husband, early in our relationship, when I was not receiving a truth or something he was trying to, an idea is trying to convince me to receive, he would call me his knot-headed blonde. The very first time he said that to me was like 2 years in our relationship, and I was struggling to believe, did he really love me or not? And he said in a letter to me, when will you ever believe I love you, you knot-headed blonde? So I was being a knot-headed blonde about this book, but I finally got the right idea.
Well, and the book is out and touching so many lives. It's receiving rave reviews. The book is An American Girl Based on a True Story by S. Naomi Main. Her website is SharonNMain.com. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A couple things you mentioned there. Let's talk about lyrics, first of all. You use a lot of lyrics in your book. Talk about the significance of that.
Well, from that month, that first month that we met and we were going to be friends, I would go on these friendly dates with Mark, and our dates pretty much were getting something to eat and going to sit in his car and talk. And while we were sitting in the car talking, the radio was always on. It was 1968, and these songs would come on. Now, I have to say, a couple of weeks into doing that, it changed from just being friends. And so he would hear a song lyric and he would quote it to me to tell me how he felt about me. And I would hear a song and I would sing along with the song on the radio to tell him how I felt about him. We carried that into our letter writing. When he left and went to Vietnam, we would include lyrics in our letters to each other. Sometimes I would sit and listen to the radio and wait to hear a song that inspired me before I would write to Mark. So throughout our life, we listened to oldies radio stations. When satellite radio came out, he would have that in his trucks, and we often traveled in his vehicle instead of mine. And we would listen to the songs from the 60s, the love songs that we liked.
Yes.
And even then, once in a while, he would quote a lyric to me to just tell me how I felt. And once in a while, I would sing to him along with a song to tell him how I felt, and he would sit and drive and grin. I put letters in my letter excerpts in my book as well, and cards, and those I put them in because I felt like they could show you about the man Mark Main. I mean, I wrote about him, but they were written in his own hand, and you could see the humor in him, you could see the thoughtfulness in him. You could see even the anger that he dealt with when he came home from Vietnam, because we didn't understand about PTS and that kind of thing. So I felt like letters and cards and notes that he wrote to me, because he wrote these clever little notes to me, they really showed that genuine charisma that I talked about earlier.
Time is going by so quickly. There is so much more in Sharon's book, An American Girl Based on a True Story. You mentioned you read the book. You even listening to Sharon talk about Mark, you get an understanding of who he is, and you feel like you know him as a person. The book is so well written. You also mentioned the relationship with God, the God of the universe, and you really didn't embrace it until your early 40s. What brought you to that point? What was the revelation at that point?
Well, there was a six-year period in the early 1990s. It started in 1991, where there were lots of challenges we faced. Five people that were significant in our life during those 6 years passed away, and both our jobs we found were in chaos. The first thing that happened was my husband's father passed away. 6 months later, his sister passed away. She was only 47. That was totally unexpected. During that time, I found out I was going to maybe lose my job. I worked for a business, had been there for 21 years. I had a high-paying, a high-level position, and they were moving from Maryland to North Carolina. And we pursued that to see if that was what we need to do, because financially, that would have been smart. But we decided not to do that. And we stayed in Maryland, and I decided to change careers entirely. I wanted to work with children, so I went to college for 2 years. And even though that was a good plan, financially I was going to make a lot less money, so that was going to affect us. And it pushed us into an uncomfortable zone that we wouldn't have really chosen had my job not been changing. And then during that time, my grandfather passed away. My husband's mother started having some issues, and for a year and a half, we had to step up and help take care of her. She came to our home every other weekend. By the time I had started a new position with the Board of Education, the local Board of Education, I had my first summer off, and Mark's mother, we'd been told, was terminal. And so I took care of her the last 3 months of her life, which that was a blessing, but it was still a stressful situation.
Yes.
And then right after that, my husband found out he was maybe going to lose his job. The man who started the commercial masonry company he worked for was retiring. He had been in business for 40 years, and it didn't look like anybody was buying the company. But they did. So we got through that. And the last thing that happened, kind of, you would say the straw that breaks the camel's back, was when we moved in next door, the people that lived next door to us became our very best friends. The man and my husband were, if two men can be friends and soulmates, they were that. The wife and myself became best friends, and we still are today, and we adopted their children. And that man died of a massive heart attack at the age of 49. So that was a total unexpected situation. And when we came home from the hospital, my husband said, "Our life will never be the same." And he was right, it wasn't. That brought a lot of trauma back to him from his time in Vietnam that he had never faced. And I said in the About the Book that it seemed like our marriage had hit rock bottom. And I said, "Lord, I think I need to get right with you."
It's amazing. Real life. And Sharon talks about that in such a way, it really brings us into her story and how she got through all of these periods with Mark. Talk a little bit about what you hope people get from reading your personal journey. I say it's a personal journey. We're there with you, and we can't help but think of what we went through in our lives. You're talking about music from 1968 and lyrics and the impact that music had on all of our lives during that period. So we're sharing your memories, and it reignites some of the memories that we had. What do you hope the takeaway is?
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. I hope and I believe that people will see what a really good man looks like. My husband operated in biblical principles from the day I met him, and I'm not even sure he recognized that. If you met him for the first time and you talked to him, he didn't talk about himself. He asked you questions and made you talk about yourself. He was so not selfish. He put people above himself. And everything he got involved in, he was determined to make it better. He would say to me a lot, "I'm always thinking," and it was true. He made our marriage better. He made our home and our property better. He made his job better. He got involved with the American Legion for over 20 years, and he got involved in a lot of their programs. And those programs he made better. People in the Legion at his celebration of life talked about that how Mark was always looking to make things better. So I'm not sure there's a lot of examples of really good, and he was a masculine man. I called him a man's man. He loved his manhood, and but he knew he was supposed to love one woman well, and he did that. And so I think that men and women both could see that he was an example of a good man. I expect that people will see what marriage can look like when both people are not selfish and they take their vows seriously. Mark started out not being selfish. I had to learn that. And once I came on board with that, our marriage really blossomed. I expect people to see that God has his hand at work in our lives constantly. He's always wooing us to him. He wants this intimate relationship with us because we are his creation. And, you know, we are triune beings. We're spirit, soul, and body. We fed our body lots of good things, but some bad things too. And we fed our soul lots of good things, but some bad things too. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we fed our spirit nothing, Mark and I, in the beginning. And that really starves the soul. Our soul prospers when we are feeding our spirit. Mark and I, when we met, we called ourselves Christians. We believed in God. We said Jesus is the Son of God. But we did not go to church. We didn't acknowledge God in our life in any way. And yet God continued to woo us. He wanted that relationship.
Yes.
And I think people will see that in my book. And I think people will see that the Bible is truly a guide to life. Excuse me. I believe even a lot of Christians today think the Bible's obsolete, but it's not. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. And that just means that what we face today, the challenges we face today, are the same challenges that were faced over 2,000 years ago when the Bible was written. My grandmother was the first person to say to me, the Bible is my guide to life, and she lived it. So I think my book will affect people in various ways.
Very important messages, lessons in Sharon's book, An American Girl Based on a True Story. Are you working on another book? You did such a wonderful job of bringing this story to life. I know it took a while before you actually got to the story and to write it. Working on anything now?
I'm not currently working on anything, but when I wrote this book, I thought it was one and done. But I do believe a sequel is possible because my life with Mark is going to be greatly different than my life without Mark. Or I should say my life with Mark was greatly different. So that's possible. Plus, I remembered that 15 years ago, I had started to write a book, and it was really what I wanted my growing up years to be like. I was one of four children, the oldest in four, and there was a boy and three girls in the family. So the book I started to write, I've written about 25 pages, really just kind of fleshing out the characters. And it's about a mother and a father with four kids, a boy and three girls. And we own and operate a dude ranch in the West. So that would be quite different. But I think that might be where I go next.
Well, stay in touch with us. Let us know what you do when you do that book. It's been such a delight having you on the program. I would like to close with maybe, if you'd be kind enough to read an excerpt from the book. This is from Sharon's book, An American Girl Based on a True Story. If you would just read something here at the conclusion of the program. Give us an example of the book.
Okay, I'll be glad to do that. Thank you. As many of the recent summers summoned us to enjoy the patio, so did the summer of 2019. One warm June Saturday evening around 10 p.m., I drove to Kim and Jeff's to let Sheba out while they were away. When I got back home, Mark was still outside on the patio where I had left him. The balmy, breezy, full moon evening was too magnificent to resist. We sat outside until nearly midnight. Mark reminisced about his childhood. You know, when I was a little boy, I used to love to sleep outside my tent on a night like this, he said. Mark had told me about the tent his father put up in the family backyard. It even had electric. I bet I slept outside more during the summer than I slept in the house. Did Bruce ever sleep outside with you, I asked? Not too often, but every once in a while. He was a mama's boy and had to sleep in the house and have mommy tuck him in at night, Mark said, laughing. sometimes Buster Honig came up to sleep in my tent with me. Maybe I'll sleep outside tonight. I envisioned my man as a little boy sleeping outside in his tent all by himself. It was both a sweet and sad picture in my mind. If I had been around then, I think I would have loved Mark Maine. I understood when I first met my man that he enjoyed his early years. He willingly shared an abundance of engaging stories about his childhood over the last 50 years.
There needs to be an audiobook. You do a wonderful job in bringing that to life on the page and orally as well. What a touching story, An American Girl Based on a True Story by S. Naomi Maine. Her website is SharonNMaine.com. Book available there and wherever books are sold. We'd like to thank KingPagesPress.com, the author's marketing consultant, for arranging our conversation today. Sharon, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing Mark's story.
Thank you so much for allowing me to do that. It's my pleasure.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Once again, Sharon Maine, S. Naomi Maine, the book, An American Girl Based on a True Story. Information, Sharon's website, SharonNMaine.com. And of course, you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.